And shall we turn together to God's Word for our scripture reading to the Gospel by Matthew. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. And we want to read the first 12 verses, a very familiar story. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, and verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judah, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently that time when the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And ending there at verse 12, and we know that the Lord will bless the reading of his own word to each of our hearts. Let's just bow together in a short word of prayer with our Bibles open and praying that God will speak to each of our hearts. Our loving God and eternal Heavenly Father, as we continue on in your presence this morning, we thank you, Lord, for thy presence already. Through the various items that we've heard being rendered to us, thou hast ministered to us and hast blessed our hearts. Thou, Father, we pray now that as we come to thine own living word, Lord, that thou would make thy word quick and powerless to hear what the Spirit would say unto the church. And grant our Father that even over this Christmas season, Lord, it will not be so taken up with the spirit of the age, but Lord, that we might be still and know that thou art God, and that thou would speak to each of our hearts this morning. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bless thy word, and grant, Father, that it might bring forth fruit in our lives to the glory and honor of thy name. We ask it in the Savior's name and for his sake. Amen. Now, just before we turn to the Word of God this morning, could I just take time to say how much we've enjoyed the various items in the program this morning. And I was just watching the children and it brought back memories. Our family back home in Ireland is not very talented as far as music is concerned. And I was just thinking of three of my young brothers when they were just young boys. And it was the time when the Beatles were very, very popular. And somebody suggested that my two or three of my young brothers should sing in the local church social. They were having a special program for the children to take part and that they would sing. But nobody thought of checking up to see what particular song or piece they were going to sing. And my young brothers get up and they started on the first verse of that famous Beatle number, She Loves Me, Yay, Yay, Yay. And it certainly made an impression upon the church, and it wasn't the type of impression that was left upon us this morning. And I really enjoyed the items this morning as the children played the violin. And it's just wonderful what clicks back in your mind, and it brought back the memory of that never-to-be-forgotten occasion. Now, if you have your Bible with you this morning, turn with me once again to the portion that we read together this morning from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. Now, I wonder, have you ever noticed as you've read through the Gospel of Matthew, the fact that Matthew's Gospel is the Gospel of the wise and the foolish? For example, if you come to the end of the famous Sermon of the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, you'll remember how that the Lord brought that sermon to conclusion by speaking of the wise man who built his house upon the rock and the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And of course, the rock was the sayings, was the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, you'll remember in Matthew chapter 25 and verses 1 to 13 that our Lord Jesus, when he was giving his wonderful discourse concerning his coming again, how that the Lord Jesus spoke about the wise and the foolish. And again, he spoke of the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins. Those who had wise, who had oil in their lamps, and those who were foolish, who had no oil in their lamps. And so, as you read through the Gospel by Matthew, it is interesting to notice the times that the Lord Jesus speaks of the wise and the foolish. And when you come to the portion that we read together this morning, we find that once again that Matthew brings before us the wise and the foolish. We have the wise men who came to seek the Lord Jesus Christ and to acknowledge him as Lord of all. And then we have the foolish and the person of Herod, who Herod the king, when he had heard these things, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. There were those who were wise and who acknowledged the king, and there were those who were foolish and who rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, even at the time of his birth. Now, as you look into this wonderful story of the wise men, you will find that there are just one or two lessons that I want to underline this morning. Why is it that these wise men go down in history as wise men? Now, I want you to notice, first of all, that they were wise because of their decision. They were wise in their decision. If you look at the opening verses of Matthew chapter 2 and verses 1 to 2, you'll find that these wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." They were wise in their decision. They had saw the star that was going to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they made up their mind that they were going to follow the star and come and give their worship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I believe today that God has still given us a star, as it were, to guide us to the feet of the Savior. You remember, the Word of God tells us that the psalmist was able to say, "Thy Word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path." And Paul, writing to Timothy, said, "From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." And just as the star was given to lead the wise men to Christ, that they might worship him, God in his loving kindness has given us the Scriptures of truth, that they might lead us to him who alone is the light of the world. Do you remember on one occasion that it said of the Lord Jesus, that he said, "Search the Scriptures, for they are which testify of me." On another occasion he said, "It is said in the volume of the book it is written to me." And this is why God has given us his word, that through the Scriptures of truth, that we might be led to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonder, could I pause to ask that in the midst of all the activity of Christmas, have you taken this first step of the wise men? Have you been wise in your decision? Have you followed God's star? Have you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You know, the tragedy of the Christmas season is this, that it's just like the days in which the Savior was born. You remember, it was said that there was no room in the inn for them. And today we find that while men and women are willing to accept Christ on a commercial sense, and they're willing to accept it even as a social occasion, yet when it comes to taking Jesus Christ and to acknowledge him as Lord of all, as King of our lives, so often there's no room in the inn, and we neglect the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember how the hymn writer put it, when she said, "Room for pleasure, room for business, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died." Yes, they were wise in their decision. They came to worship him. But I want you to notice also the question that they asked there in verse 2. Because these wise men came and they said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" And I think that is one of the most wonderful statements in the whole of the Word of God. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? I think that you can notice there the humanity of Christ. Where is he that is born? That's the humanity of Christ. That God was manifest in the flesh, and that Jesus Christ, through the vehicle of the Virgin Mary, made his entrance into the world, and we here have the humanity of the Savior. He was born into the world, not by natural generation, but through a supernatural act of the virgin birth. The Lord Jesus Christ was brought into the world. But I want you to notice we see not only his humanity, but we also see his royalty. Because the wise men said, "Where is he that is born king?" I want you to notice that Jesus Christ didn't come to be a king, but rather he was born a king when he came into the scene of time. And isn't it interesting to notice that Matthew's gospel is the gospel of the king, and we read it almost at the end of this gospel in the words of Pilate when he came to the multitude to decide what they were going to do with Christ. And he said, "Behold your king." Where is he that is born King of the Jews? We can see not only his humanity, but we can also see his royalty, that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But then I want you to notice something else, and it's this, that we see his nationality, because it says, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" And we must never forget this, that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came into this world, he took upon himself the nationality of a Jew, and he came as the King of the Jews. That speaks of the nationality of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know, there's a promise given in the Word of God that still stands today that was given to the Jews almost 4,000 years ago. And you remember God said to Abraham when he made his covenant with the father of the faithful, and he said, "I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee." And my dear friend, we must never forget that the Jew stands in a special relationship with God. And every weapon that is formed against the Jew shall not prosper because of the eternal promise of God. You know, during the last war, I was too young to remember, just born, but you remember that Hitler rose and Hitler decided that he would wipe out the Jewish nation. And you remember how that across Europe the great purge took place, and almost 7 million Jews were taken to those ovens and they were exterminated, and Hitler sought to wipe out the Jewish nation from the face of the earth. I want to say something. I don't believe Hitler lost the war simply just by chance, but I believe that because he sought to touch God's anointed people, that the God of heaven brought him down. And so we can see the nationality of the Savior. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? But then I want you to notice something else, and it's this, that we see the supremacy of the Savior. Because the wise men came and they said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star." And you know, underline that little phrase, "his star." That speaks of the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a little verse in the book of Genesis, and it's almost as if Moses adds it as an afterthought, and it says, "And he made the stars also." It was his star, because in the beginning he made all things, and nothing was made without him. And so what a wonderful picture we get of the Lord Jesus Christ. His humanity, he was born. His royalty, he was king. His nationality, he was King of the Jews. His supremacy, we have seen his star. Oh, but I want you to see his deity, because the wise men came and they said, "We have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." And here at the very birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, they recognized the one that was in the arms of Mary was the everlasting God, the Son of the everlasting Father. We are come to worship him. My, that's a tremendous verse for the Jehovah Witnesses and the Mormons and every other unclean cult that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember how we're told in this same gospel how that the angel said that the one or the virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And here we have God with us, His deity, and they worshipped Him. Oh, what a decision they made when they came saying, "Where is He that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and are come to worship Him." But I want you to see not only their deity, I want you to see that they were not only wise in their decision, but they were also wise in their determination. They were wise in their determination. Now, if you study it out in this chapter, you'll find that there was a period of 2 years the wise men had spent in their journey looking for the Messiah, looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we have seen Christmas cards and have shown us the wise men along with the shepherds in Bethlehem in the stable worshipping the Savior. But you know, that's not true. Because we find here when the wise men came to look for the Lord Jesus Christ, it says in verse 11, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother." He wasn't in Bethlehem simply in the manger, but rather he was in the house and he was possibly 2 years of age. And so the wise men were wise in their determination. They spent 2 years looking for the Savior. Oh, I wonder this morning, are you wise in your determination? That if you're going to be saved, the Bible says to strive to enter in the straight gate. Remember again in Matthew 7 and verse 7, the Savior said, "Seek, and ye shall find, and he that seeketh, findeth." Know that you would be wise in your determination, that no matter what happens, I'm going to make up my mind to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Remember, we have this in the story of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was only a little man, small in stature. But one of the things I like about him was this, that he had determination, and he was even willing to climb up a tree that he might meet with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember the story how Christ came as the Son of God, and he looked up between the branches, and he said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house." And we read how he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Oh, he had determination. He was going to find the Savior. And you know, I fear that there's some even in this church, and perhaps you've brought up in a Christian home. I want to tell you, as far as your eternal salvation is concerned, it will never take you to heaven. Thank God for Christian parents. But your parents' salvation is not a passport into the kingdom of God. You need to have that same determination as the wise man and register your own personal act of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were wise because of their decision. They were wise because of their determination. But then I want you to see something else in verse 12. And it's this in the chapter. And it's this, that they were wise in their devotion. Look at verse 11 rather. And it says, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." And here I want you to notice that they were wise in their devotion. Who did they worship here in this story? Well, we find that they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped her. Doesn't say that. It says that they worshipped him. They were wise in their devotion. They centered their praise around the worthy person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, beloved, today, let me make it absolutely clear, as someone who has seen Romanism firsthand in Spain, been there on two occasions in missionary work, the Church of Rome is still exactly the same. We live in the ecumenical age when Rome is supposed to change, but the boast of Rome is that Rome is always the same, and it's still the same in the worship of the Virgin Mary. I remember going into a large Roman Catholic cathedral, and you know, there was a statue of the Virgin Mary, and it was taller than this building, and it showed you Mary standing with outstretched arms as the Queen of Heaven, willing to accept sinners to come to her. And behind Mary in the corner, there was a little pathetic crucifix of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary had all the preeminence, and Jesus Christ was presented as a Savior still on the cross. Oh, that we would worship Him, that we would realize why we thank God for Mary, that she was blessed among women, and that she was the handmaiden of the Lord. Yet when it comes to worship, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God only. And Jesus Christ was worshipped because He was God manifest in the flesh. They were wise in their devotion. Then I want you to notice something else. They were wise in their dedication. They were wise in their dedication. Look at verse 11. We find something what happened when they worshipped Him. And they expressed their worship in a practical way. It says, and when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto Him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. I think that's tremendous. My, they opened their treasures and they gave Him the very best. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. My, that was the very best that it was possible to lay at the feet of the Savior. And you know, these gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, they were acknowledging the kingship of Jesus Christ, that He was worthy of all. You know, beloved, this morning I wonder, in our worship and our attitude to the Lord Jesus Christ, do we give Him the very best? I was reading a report of a missionary working down in Mexico, and she said it was pathetic to see a young girl going about carrying crosses in her arms, and little wooden crosses, and she was shouting out to the passers-by, cheap crosses for sale! Cheap crosses for sale! You know, my friend, as I read that story, I thought how true it is today in our 20th century. My, the cry is up, the cheap crosses for sale! And people no longer want to lay their gold and their frankincense and their myrrh, the very best that they can give to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the cheaper the cross, the better. I wonder, have you laid your gold, your frankincense, and your myrrh at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you acknowledged Him King of all? You know, C.T. Studd was a famous Englishman. He was a cricketer. And he was saved onto the ministry, I believe it was D.L. Moody. And C.T. Studd was born in a very wealthy home. His parents were some of the richest people in England. And they lived in a beautiful mansion. They had servants, they had horses, everything that you can imagine. And C.T. Studd, after attending one of Moody's meetings, came to know Jesus Christ as a Savior. But you know, the call of God came. And God called C.T. Studd. He said, C.T., I want you to go to China and to be a missionary for me. And C.T. Studd surrendered his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gave up his mansion. His father died. He gave up the family fortune that he inherited. Gave some of it to the Salvation Army. Some to other needy causes. And he left behind him the mansion. And he went out to China first of all. And then in the latter part of his life, he went out to Africa. And he died in an old mud hut in poverty. But you know, C.T. Studd on one occasion when he was getting onto a train, someone asked him for his autograph, and C.T. Studd took the autograph book and he wrote in it, C.T. Studd. And then underneath it he wrote these words, which became the motto of the Worldwide Evangelization Crusade. If Jesus Christ be God and give Himself for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for Him. Oh, C.T. Studd knew what it was to lay the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh of this world's goods at the feet of the Savior and to crown Him Lord of all. What about it, Christian? Is it a cheap cross you're carrying this weather? Do you remember what David said? Shall I render unto the Lord that which costs me nothing? There's a great preacher by the name of Jowett who said that when we cease to bleed, we cease to bless. Oh, that we would be wise in our dedication and give the Savior the very best. But finally, in closing, and our time is gone, I want you to notice that they were wise in their destination. They were wise in their destination. Look at verse 12. It says, and being warned of God in a dream that they should return, they should not return to Herod. They departed into their own country another way. And they departed into their own country another way. They were wise in their destination. They departed into their own country another way. And you know, beloved, this morning you can be wise in your destination. You know, the Bible teaches that by nature we're the children of wrath, even as others. That each one of us who are born into the world, we're born into the world with our feet on a broad road that leadeth to destruction. And if we die in our sins where Jesus is, we cannot be for all eternity. Oh, but the glorious message of the gospel is this, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. This is the whole meaning and message and miracle of Christmas, that the Savior was born to bleed on the cross as a Lamb of God to take away our sins. And you know, you can go home another way this morning. You can go home with a change of destination, like the wise men, knowing that you have met with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you have crowned Him Lord of all. Salvation this morning is the free gift of God to each one of us. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I wonder this morning, are you willing to say, like a wise man, by your attitude, by your action, by your surrender and submission to Christ this morning, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift, and to crown Him Lord of all. Oh, that each one of us this morning would be wise. If you're unsaved, that you would be wise unto salvation. If you're saved, that you'd be wise unto surrender and give your all to the King. Amen.